Starbucks wants to be more than a coffee company. It wants to be known for its food as well. Joining us now is Washington Post food anchor Mary Beth Albright. Mary Beth, Starbucks has had mixed success, I think we can say, with its food options in its traditional retail stores. But now they're launching a standalone food offering in its upscale locations. Tell us about that.
Yes, I just got back from Seattle, spending a lot of time with Howard Schultz, their executive chairman. And I went and experienced, they just opened on Tuesday, today. I'm a little bit off because of the time change, right, from Seattle. A partnership with a bakery in Italy called Princi. And it's an artisanal baker named Rocco Princi. And they have created this partnership that they are opening next year in 2018, standalone cafes. So it's not just that Starbucks is going to be baking on site in some of their higher-end retail locations, but they're also going to be opening cafes called Princi locations, and they're going to be selling their Starbucks coffee there, and they're going to be selling, get ready for this, alcohol there. They're getting in the alcohol business, too. So they're going to be selling cocktails, breakfast foods, lunch foods, small plates, pizzas, just a lot of different kinds of foods.
So this expands on a lot of things that they have tried in their traditional locations. What do you think they've learned from the past and some of the mistakes they may have made with some of those efforts that will help them with this?
Well, it's interesting because the experience that I had when I was in Seattle and going to the first Princi location that they have in their flagship roastery in Seattle is that they have something called a culinary guide when you walk into the Princi location. It's called a commessa. It's an Italian phrase. And they're really building on Starbucks's and Howard Schultz's vision of Starbucks as a place that is grounded in the coffee traditions of Italy, but also going into the innovations that coffee has gone through in America, right? Because you see people like doing siphon coffee and doing all different kinds of like the different brewing methods and stuff. And so I think that they understand that when you walk into a place and there are a lot of different culinary options, particularly when people are expecting a Starbucks experience, they need a guide. And so they're going to have this person called a commessa to guide them through the culinary options. And like if you have a group of four people, they might put a tasting plate together for you of a lot of different options for a certain price point. And so it's not just walking up like you would in a cafe and just ordering food. You're going to have somebody walking you through the options.
Interesting. Now, certainly the coffee that is served in these locations appeals to a more discerning coffee drinker. I imagine the food will be of a higher quality. What did you learn about what they will be serving and what their approach will be here?
Well, it's really interesting because this partnership that they have with Rocco Princi, who is a baker who is based out of Milan, which is where they're opening. Starbucks has never opened in Italy because, you know, Italy is the place of coffee, right? If you're going to Italy, you got to do it right.
Right.
And so they're opening a huge flagship store called a roastery in the old post office building in Milan next year. And so I think that this is really, or I was talking to Howard Schultz yesterday about this, and he said that this was a way to create legitimacy and credibility for Starbucks going into Italy. And so this partnership with Rocco Princi is critical because he is known for being somebody who cares about ingredients. And they're bringing in and importing ingredients from Italy. And it's like all this stuff that's based in Italian heritage and really, really high quality ingredients. And I think that when you focus on very high quality ingredients, as I've been on WTOP for, you know, more than a decade now, talking about the importance of ingredients in cooking. And I think that they're using that connection with Rocco Princi to really focus on the ingredients in the food, as well as you said, the ingredients in the coffee.
How big of a gamble do you think this is for Starbucks to be entering this space?
Howard Schultz said to me yesterday in Seattle, point blank, Starbucks is getting into the food business. So this is not you go into a Starbucks and there's a sandwich there, or there's a protein plate there, or there's a yogurt parfait there. This is a new thing that Starbucks is opening cafes, and they are going to be baking on site. They are going to be creating food from raw ingredients on site. It is a different business. That being said, they have created a partnership with a renowned artisanal Italian baker who is known for not compromising on his quality, in a way that Howard Schultz doesn't franchise out his coffee business. Like, he's notorious for not franchising out Starbucks coffee. That's how Rocco Princi is. And so I think that that might be the secret sauce that Starbucks has been looking for in food all these years.
What did you learn from talking with Howard Schultz? And what did you learn from him about his background, perhaps, that influences how he conducts business?
Wow. Well, Howard Schultz is a fascinating guy. And that's why we used him as our first interview subject for a series that The Washington Post is launching that I am hosting, which I'm really excited about, called Food Diaries of the Famous. And he is our first interview subject, and it's a culinary biography series. And so I talked to Howard Schultz about his background growing up in the projects in Brooklyn, really, really poor, and really poor in money, but not poor in spirit and not poor in friendship and kinship. And he talks about walking through the hallways of the projects and people having their doors thrown open, in the 1950s, and cooking and the smells of cooking surrounding him and the ethnic diversity that he grew up with. And then when he got to growing up in the 1980s, and he was walking around and looking at people not having that space, that kinship in their lives anymore. And so he created Starbucks as a third space between work and home that people could gather in. Because if you remember in the 1980s, people were cocooning. Do you remember that phrase from the 1980s mm-hmm. that people were like, oh, we've got to stay at home and watch movies only. And Starbucks was really one of the first places where people could really get out and be with their neighbors and in their neighborhood. And so that was really, I think, a strong pull for Howard Schultz to start a place like Starbucks.
Do you think he has plans outside of Starbucks and now their move into food? Does he have a higher calling, do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm just the food anchor at the Washington Post. But, Howard Schultz did talk to me a lot about the lack of leadership that he sees in this country now, and children going to bed hungry, and the Starbucks plan to reduce food waste that they've been rolling out over the past year, and his concerns for the environment and that kind of thing. And it sounds an awful lot like somebody who is very interested in serving in the public sector. And he is somebody who, in his own way, is of course already serving in the public sector, right? Because he's providing health care for his workers, and he's providing free college tuition for his workers and that kind of thing. So how far he wants to go with that, I'm not the first to tell you that he is rumored to be somebody who might be running for president in a couple of years. So, I don't have any scoops on that, but he certainly has a lot to say about where America is right now.
What's his key to success with this new venture? How will he know? And did he give you, some milestones that he wants to see for success with Princi?
Well, what I really think is one of the secrets to Howard Schultz's success is that he takes the long vision. And even when I went to this flagship roastery that he has in Seattle yesterday, and he's opening one in Shanghai, China, in a month, and I think they're opening three more in the next 18 months. It's the Willy Wonka of coffee places. There are like copper tubes running all over the place, and like people right out of central casting roasting beans, and as I said, like the siphon coffees and stuff like that. There's a million different ways to have your coffee, and real coffee innovation going on there. and a commitment to not ceding the high ground when it comes to high quality coffee. And for a company that has been criticized by a lot of people as, oh, the unicorn frappuccino and, you know, that kind of thing, I think that he is taking the long term, that he can serve people of all tastes, that they can have the high ground of this amazing coffee experience, almost like a coffee museum, coffee shrine, and also serve the tastes of people who come in and want a hot chocolate. But I think he's definitely taking the long term, and I think that's what they're doing with Princi as well. It's interesting, they have a secret menu. I don't know if you know this, that Starbucks has a secret menu.
I've heard about it. I've never seen proof of it.
That's why it's a secret.
But, you know, there's many other secret menus, you know, at fast food chains and other places.
Isn't like the Arby's secret menu. Okay?
You know, the In-N-Out Burger secret menu. Yes. People know. You can Google that online and you can find out what to order. And
right.
People will. So what is it about this Starbucks secret menu?
Well, there are like 90,000 ways that you can order a Starbucks coffee. And I'm actually not being hyperbolic here. I'm not exaggerating. There actually are that many ways to order a Starbucks coffee. But I, in the video Food Diaries of the Famous, I actually test Howard Schultz on his knowledge of the secret Starbucks menu.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. And he's a great sport. And that's one of the great things about him is that he's a guy who knows how to laugh. He notoriously will cry in public with his employees, you know, when they're hurt. Like, it's just we have a great time with it.
Well, I have to ask, what is the secret about the secret menu? Is it just that there are many ways to order the same beverage, or are there secret things that if you know how to order it, you can get?
If you know how to order it, you can get. So, and it's almost like I don't even know how it evolves. I mean, we should do an article on that. Like, it's almost like a secret handshake, right? That, so for example, do you know what the green eye is?
Oh, I have no idea.
If you go to Starbucks and order a green eye, it's 3 shots of espresso in a cup of brewed coffee. So if you're ever really tired, you can get, yes, that's right. I mean, I see the look on your face. I wish we had video right now.
Wow.
Yes. So, you know, that it's if you're in the news business, you might need a green eye someday. it's 2017. It's a busy year.
There have been some days.
Yeah, I know there have. I know there have. We're both in the news business.
Now, I've heard of a red eye, which has, there is a shot of, but I've never heard of a green eye.
If you go and order it, I have had this experience.
But employees know what these secret orders are.
I have experienced ordering a green eye and having every time people knowing what it is.
Very interesting.
I tested it.
All right. We'll have to do some research. anything else you want to tell us about Starbucks and your interview that we've missed?
One thing I will mention, Howard Schultz likes to get behind the counter sometimes at Starbucks and make his own coffee because he lives in Seattle. There are a ton of Starbucks in Seattle.
There certainly are.
And he likes to just get behind the counter and make his own coffee. And the baristas are apparently used to it, fine with it, because I just looked at him and I said, are you kidding me? Like, you cannot convince me that they're not nervous when Howard Schultz gets behind the bar and makes an espresso. So then we get into he always pays for his coffee. Everybody at Starbucks pays for their coffee, including people who are on the board. So we have a chat about people who are on the board, including Sheryl Sandberg and people paying for their own coffee. So
there's
you
no got to
watch
coffee.
The video. It's a great moment.
Do we know what he makes? What's it? Do we know what his favorite drink is or what he makes?
Doppio espresso macchiato.
Wow.
Yeah, he has a Doppio espresso macchiato in the morning. He actually makes coffee for his wife. Do you not love that?
That's fantastic.
I know. He makes the coffee in the morning. Everybody listening, take note. Howard Schultz, I don't know what he is, a billionaire, gajillionaire. He makes coffee for his wife. And then he has like 4 or 5 cups of aged Sumatra during the day. Aged Sumatra is like a specific roastery blend that they make. So that's what Howard Schultz drinks. If you want to drink like a billionaire.
There you go.